This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3926, from Monday, the 21st of August, 2023. Today's show is entitled Karate Do, an Overview. It is hosted by Hypernik and is about 45 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Hypernik talks about karate, its meaning, and some of the things he has learned.
In today's episode, I'm going to talk about karate. I haven't recorded episodes for almost a year, and since then many things have occurred in my life. I'm now in college, I'm studying computer science, and now that I have organized my time a lot better, I'll be striving to record an episode monthly. I have many interesting topics to share with you that I have learned in college. I will be talking about them in future episodes. Okay, so today's topic is karate. I don't have like a predefined structure for what I'm going to say. I'm mainly going to say what to talk about what karate means, the history about karate, and some of the translations of karate words. I'll also talk about the basis of karate and some things that I have learned from my sensei. As I'll introduce new concepts, I'll explain them. So let's start. What does karate mean? There's a great analogy from Gishin Funakoshi. He's the father of modern karate. He was born in Okinawa in 1868, and he's one of the key people that introduced karate to all of the world through his exhibitions. Another thing I want to say before moving on is that the words and some of the things I'm going to say, I'll write them down in the show notes so you can understand more the concepts I'll talk about, and also see how the words are pronounced in Japanese or written. In his book, it is called Karate do Kyohan, Gishin Funakoshi gives an analogy of how is a karateka. A karateka is someone who practices karate. That's how he or she is called. So he says, thus he is like the green bamboo stalk, hollow, kara, inside, straight and with knots, that is unselfish, gentle and moderate. Karate do, or karate, literally translates the way of the empty hand. Kara means empty, as in karaoke. Te means hand, and do is way, so the way of the empty hand. Empty hand, it is because in karate you don't use any weapon, you just use your body and your hands. But also it has a more profound meaning, as Gishin Funakoshi said. Karate is about being empty and hollow from bad thoughts, from being selfish, and karate is about striving to be better, having courtesy, being gentle, and something that the Gishin Funakoshi emphasizes a lot is being humble. So even though you know a lot of things about karate, you don't come saying to others what you know, and being arrogant. Something I forgot to mention is that I've been practicing karate since I was 7 years old, but it's until now that I am really interested in karate, and it's until now that I really understand what karate means. My parents brought me to karate classes because of the values of karate, discipline. As I said before, being gentle, being moderate, being humble, also being empty of laziness, which at the beginning when I was starting practicing karate, I wasn't very happy to wake up early in the morning and to practice karate. I sometimes was lazy, but I have learned a lot of things, and I have advanced through this way. I am now purple belt. I'll later talk about the hierarchy of the color of the belts. That's what karate means. Karate, it is also something you don't only practice in the dojo. Dojo is the physical place where you train, but rather as Gishin Funakoshi said, every place can be a dojo. So every place is good to practice karate, to be humble, to be gentle, and not only practicing karate physically, but practicing those values, those key values in karate. Karate, there are some misconceptions about karate that I want to clarify. Many people practice, or they begin practicing karate because they want to learn self-defense. They may have been attacked before, they want to learn how to defend, but that's not the main purpose of karate, that's like a bonus. I can bet that many of the great senseis of Japan never used karate in a real life situation, like Gishin Funakoshi and the other great senseis of Japan. And that is something that reflects also in a phrase of Gishin Funakoshi, one of his 20 precepts that I'll later put on the show notes, the link to them. It is, the precept says, there is no first attack in karate. It is written in Gishin Funakoshi's thumb. And that reflects in karate. There is something called kata. Kata is one of the bases, three bases that I'll later talk about. And kata is a series of techniques that simulate or symbolize real combat. And in every kata in karate, there's always the first movement is a defense. There's no kata that starts with an attack. That also means that, well, the best fight is the one you avoid. I agree with that. Think you should always be careful with using karate, using like the practical things about karate, the movements, the attacks, the defenses, both because you can injure severely a person and may even kill that person, and also because. That's not the purpose of during those attacks and defenses. I think karate is more about having peace than learning self-defense. That's like a bonus. And also, it depends on the country you live in, but if it happens that you fought with someone, even if it's a thief or someone who attacked you first, and you injure that person severely, and he's very bad. He's up at a very bad state. You could get into trouble with authorities because, you knew karate, you know karate, and the other person didn't. So that's a disadvantage, and you could get into trouble. The best thing that, and as one of my senseis said, the best thing you can do is just, and also depending on the situation, the best thing you can do is just inhabilitate that person, if that's a word. Let me church, so I can confirm. And then, yeah, you just run. Oh, well, there is a translation. I'm not sure if that's the correct word, but it's like disqualify, or let me write another thing. Yeah, like, no, disabling a person. Yeah, you disable that person. You just punch him, or you make him... sorry, there's another word for that. You, like, yeah, like, you take out his breath, his air, and then you run. Okay, so moving on the topic. Something interesting about, well, karate is that it doesn't matter your age or your gender or anything. You can always practice karate at every moment in your life. Many of the senseis in Japan, the best senseis in Japan, they are all oral. Because, well, karate is a way, so you age practicing karate. And it doesn't matter, people I've seen, or people that started karate when they were more not so young, they were old. And it doesn't matter, because karate adapts, or you adapt karate, the training to yourself. And as you improve in karate, you also improve your physical condition. So that's something great about karate. And that's another bonus, you're improving your physical health. So another thing about karate. Well, yeah, karate has influence from China. Karate was developed in the Ryukyu Kingdom. It was a kingdom in the Ryukyu Islands from 1429 to 1879, and it was and it has been developed the modern karate by Kishin Funakoshi, and he introduced it to all of the world. Let's talk about the main basis of karate. Karate has three main bases. They are kata, that I mentioned before, gihon, and kumite. Well, karate, kata, I already defined it. In karate, in Shotokan style, there are other styles, I'll later talk about that. In Shotokan styles, there are about 19 katas, if I'm not wrong. Of those, I only know around half or more, or a little bit more. In kata, as I mentioned earlier, is like a symbolic fight, and it's also similar to gihon. Gihon is also a series of movements, but they are all in straight line, and they are mainly used to practice your position, your form, your dashes are the positions of your legs. So there are different positions. Some examples are senkutsu dachi, kokutsu dachi, kibadashi, and gihon is used for improving those areas, those positions and techniques. And it is also used when you're being evaluated by your sensei to continue advancing through the belts. And last, it is kumite. Kumite is like it's combat. I know that I said before that karate is not about, it's not focused mainly on self-defense or like that combat part, but it is also important to be skillful at that, even it's because it's not the main focus of karate, but it's, as I said before, it's a bonus. So it is important. In kumite, there are two categories. So when you're starting learning karate, you just practice basic kumite, basic combat, and you don't have like not physical contact, but you don't. Yeah, the best way of seeing it is with the difference with free combat. So in free combat, you, as the name implies, you're free to move and you're free to attack as you want and defend as you want. In basic combat, there are predefined structures, and that's the kumite you learn when you're beginning. In competences, and even in the Olympic Games in Japan, that's when karate was first introduced into Olympic Games. Karatekas or practitioners of karate competed in the two categories of kata and kumite, because, well, as I said before, Kihon is more used to evaluate you. So yeah, those are the three bases of karate. Before moving on, I want to mention the Dojo-kun. Dojo-kun is the set of rules for when you're training. Dojo, as I said before, is the place where you train. And, well, I'll be alternating between Japanese and English. So the first, there are five rules. So the first one is Hitotsu, Jinkan Kukansei ni Nutsudo Morokuto. That translates to strive for completion of character or seek perfection of character. Hitotsu, Makoto no Mishi o Mamuru Koto. Be faithful, protect the way of truth, be punctual, that's something very important. Hitotsu, Doryoku no Seishina o Jashina o Koto. That's like each person must endeavor is fostering the spirit of effort. Hitotsu rei o munsuru koto, respect others. And finally, Hitotsu keki no juu o imashimuru koto, which translates to refrain from violent behavior. As you may have noticed, each of these rules starts with Hitotsu, the Hitotsu word, that translates to first, and that means that every rule is at the same level. All of them are important. Okay, and well, this Dojo-kun reflects the values of karate. Some of the things I mentioned before: refraining violent behavior, striving to be better, having discipline. Yes, I want to talk about the hierarchy of the belts. So the first belt is white belt. All of these color colors have meaning, and it is not casualty that the first belt, or the first obvious, this said in Japanese, is white. It's like the beginning, being clean of everything. It's starting a new path. Then every belt has its meaning. Then we have yellow belt. Then we have orange belt, blue belt, green belt, purple belt. Then we have a brown belt and black belt. And those last ones are important. When you get to the black belt, you're sensei, you're the master, you're like the master of others. And brown belt, it's when you're in brown belt, you're a senpai, and that's like a preparation from being the master of others. So when you get to that point, you must give a good example. You should also help and train others, because you part of karate is also helping others and teaching them. So when you get to brown belt, you must prepare to teach others and help others. I don't remember if I mentioned it before, but I am purple belt. No, I think I didn't. So yeah, I'm purple belt. What my belt or obi means or is emphasizes in is calm and controlling yourself, and that's also something related to what I said before. God is about searching peace and having out of control. If yeah, I think that's a word, over yourself, out of control. Yeah. And well, other words in karate, that's a uniform you use when practicing. Well, something really important is that when you get to brown belt, there are three different brown belts, and they are all you differentiate them with a term you call dan. Sorry. So there is first dan, second dan, third dan of brown belt, and in black belt there are 10 dans. So well, it's a whole life. My sensei, it's like a third or fourth dan, and it's a whole life. It's a path, and there are many things to learn. Something my sensei said is that black belt is just the beginning of the. It's kind of the beginning. So yeah, there is a lot of to learn. I think I may hopefully graduate next year to brown belt, and maybe since now 4 years since now I'll be black belt. Yeah, it's all my. I want to practice all my life karate. Well, something that I just remembered is that karate, one of the precepts of Kishin Funakoshi is that the beauty of karate comes from practicing it every moment of your life. That's where the beauty of karate comes from. Well, let's talk about styles. There are different styles depending on the sensei. The style that was developed by Kishin Funakoshi is Shotokan style. It is called as that because Shoto was the nickname of Kishin Funakoshi, and Kan is like a house, so, or dojo. So people said, well, let's go to Shotokan, to the house of Shoto. And there are other styles, I don't know their name, but there are. They differ mainly on the katas performed, mainly on that, and maybe some of the techniques used for the katas. Another thing interesting about karate is that there is Okinawan karate and Japanese karate. They differ mainly on the dashes. You know, if I'm not wrong, in Okinawan karate, the dashes or the positions of the legs are more little. Because they focus more on like being that's called sorry. Yeah, like practicity. I think that's the word. Yeah, like being practical when performing the techniques. Something to mention to mention about karate. That karate also focuses on being like the beauty of performing the techniques. So there are many techniques or ways of moving your body that doesn't matter how you perform there, because they are not part of the attack or the defense itself. But with calm and with having control over yourself, and performing them in a, you can perform them in a beautiful way. So that's also beautiful about katas. And well, let's talk about some of the katas in Shotokan style. There are, as I said before, 19 katas. The first three of them you learn when you begin practicing karate are the Kyokushuan, the Kyokunian, and the Kyokusandan. The Kyoku means first cause, and it's also, as my sensei before said, the last cause. Sensei's from Japan, well, senseis with the highest dan, with 10 dan of black belt. They practice the Kyokushin. It's like your first and last class. Then there are five Heian. Heian Shon, Heian Nian, Heian Sandan, Heian Jonan, Heian Goan. You may have noticed that at the end of the names of the katas, there are the words Shon, Nian, Sandan. Well, those are how, that's how you count in Japan, in Japanese, sorry. So the first number is ich, then you have ni, sam, chi, go, roku, hishi, hashi, kyu, yu. So yeah, there's the last heian go, and there are five heians. And heian means minding peace. And heians were derived from a kata called kankudai. Kankudai is look at the sky. It's like looking at this. Yeah, look at the sky. That's how it translates. I think, I'm not sure, but yeah, those are short words for the large meaning. You know, look at the sky, or heian, just the word for a minding peace. But I think it derived from other names, but that's the simplified version of saying them. Okay, so kankudai, it's look at the sky, and it's called like that because of the first and last movement you perform. The first movement, I'll post in the show notes some videos of kankudai, heian, and the heians, and the kyokus, so you can see them. In kankudai, you start with your hands down, and they form a triangle. And then you slowly move your hands upwards until you see the sky through this triangle. And then you separate your hands, and then you continue. You'll later see some of the videos. And there is another kata called basaidai. Basaidai translates entering or penetrating the fortress. It is called like that because of the strong movement performed at the beginning of the kata. Well, kankudai and basaidai, they have like brothers. So there is kankusho and basaisho. They're like little brothers. I think, if I'm not wrong, you learn them in black belt. I am in purple belt, and I learned kankudai in green belt, and now and heian goan. I am now learning basaidai and tekishoan. And something before moving on with the tekishoan, I said that kankudai derived five heians. The reason for that is that kankudai is really, it's difficult. Kankudai consists of 65 techniques, 65 movements, and if you don't control your breath and your energy, you'll end up without air and performing the kata bad, wrong. So it is difficult, and it was separated into five heians. I don't remember what sensei separate them. I'll post it in the show notes. He separated into those five heians so people could learn them. Could learn them first and then learn kankudai. Okay, so tekishoan. There's tekishoan, teki nidan, and teki sandan. Teki means iron horseman, and it is due to the position you use. It is kibarashi. It's like a horseman position. You later see with the images I post in the show notes how you put your legs. And there are other katas. There is one called MP. There is another one called Ganku. Ganku. There are other ones whose name I don't remember. There are two like brothers, Yon and Yide. I think I will learn them in Yon. I'll learn it in Black Belt. Well, something that Gishun Funakoshi recommended for its students is to learn a kata per year. So you will learn it, perfection it. Yeah, you will perfection it for a year. That's a lot of time. I learned Kankudai and Heian Godan only in a year. I have a lot of things to improve in those katas. In fact, all of the katas, you can always improve a lot of things. What is important to perform a kata in a good way is a combination of like factors. So when you're performing your kata, first you should always have a good breathing. You should always let me translate the word. Sorry. Yeah, like press your belly button. Yeah, but in a way that you can still breathe. That is because you should, and that's not only in kata, also in kumite. Because if you receive a punch in your shuriken part, there are three parts: yoan, which is your head; shuden, which is your rest, yeah, and genan, which is your like your lower part, your belly bottom. You should always, when practicing, press your belly button, so if you receive a punch, it won't take out your breath. Also, it is important to practice moving your hips. When you attack with a punch at suki, that's how it is called, suki, that's the basic fist, the basic punch you can, or the basic attack you can do. You should not only use the force of your arm, but also the force of your hips. Like the energy comes from your center. Try, for example, just leaving your arms, relaxed in a relaxed way, moving your hips. If you do it in a right way, you will see, in a strong way, you will see how you can move your relaxed arms up to the height of your head, so you can see the force that you can use with your hips. That's something very important in karate, and not only when attacking, but also when performing defense techniques. When you're attacking, you should put your hips looking toward north, north. But when you're defending, you either put it to the west or to the east, and that helps first because of the movement, the mechanic of the movement, but also because if someone attacks you or with a leg kick, when you move your hips toward east or leg or west, sorry, you have like a protection or a safe area that guards you from leg kicks or any other kick. Another thing important in karate and also in kata and in kumite, because kata is like a simulated combat, the stability you must have with your legs. So especially, for example, in Kankudai, there are a lot of movements and you even have to jump, so you have to have a good stability. Yeah, that's another thing very important. Now let's talk about things important in committee. In committee, it is really important to shout. Yeah, to shout. So when you perform, basic committee or in free committee combat, in free combat or in basic combat, you have to shout. There are different types of ways of shouting. Shouting. You say something like "kai," and you shout that word. I think that word has a meaning, but the point is, like when you shout, you concentrate all your strength, and it is important in committees. Sometimes if you don't shout, the judges can nullify your point. Another thing important is the being quick, like a cat, for example. There's an analogy that my sensei taught me. If a rock falls towards you, normal people would move their arms to the head, trying to protect it. But the rock will still break or kick them and even kill them. And you would think that maybe a karateka would use a technique like Aheoke. I'll later let you see with an image what Aheoke is. It is a defense. You will think that a karateka will use like a kind of defense with the arm to protect from the rock, but anyway, you will break your arm and die. So the best thing you can do is to, and the most intelligent thing that you can do is just move to one side. That's the easiest thing to do. People don't tend, and even karatekas don't tend to think on their legs, because we have like the arms more close to the head, to the brain, that our brains, that than our legs. Sorry, so you don't think a lot about using your legs or moving with your legs, and that's something you should do in kumite. You should first think in the legs and moving towards the opponent or backwards. And something very interesting, there's a movie. I'm just checking the name. Yeah, there's a movie with Tom Cruise called The Last Samurai. It is from 2003. There's a great scene. I'll try to find it in YouTube and post it in the show notes so you can see it. There's a scene when Tom Cruise is practicing with a wooden sword, and he's like losing the combat, losing the simulation. So there's a samurai that says to him that he's having a lot of samurai said. So that's something important in kumite. You enter like in a state where you don't think, something like that. You're empty, and it's like through instinct that you defend and you attack. You don't think on the opponent, you don't think on your fists, you don't think on people watching you, nothing. That it's an interesting state of mind. It's like relaxing. A combat, it's like a dance. You must be relaxed. There are some times where you have to, I was searching a precept from Kishin Funakoshi that mentions that something similar to what I am saying. Yeah, so you there are moments where you are like tense, some moments where you are relaxed. I'm searching it, sorry. Yeah, it says something like the main point of kumite is interchanging, like balancing between relaxed positions, relaxed relaxed moments, and moments where you have to put all of your force and all of your energy. That's something very important. Well, I say of these things about kumite, but I have never been on a free kumite, in a free combat. This month will be my first competition with free combat, and I've been practicing, but well, it's very different from when you practice, from when you compete with a person, and with where you can or where you can attack him, and he may attack you and even injure you. So yeah, I hope I am prepared. And yeah, I think it's more of relaxing yourself. I think everyone has fear, but you, if you demonstrate it, you lose. Yeah, I hope I will perform well. What else can I say? Something interesting that you can learn to differentiate some defense techniques and some attack techniques is that defense techniques tend to end with the uke word. So there's ahe uke that I mentioned it before, sato uke, ushu uke, shudo uke, and defense techniques tend to end with ushi word. So there's empi ushi, that's kick with the elbow. Empi means elbow. There's also tate tsuki, which is like a kick with you word as a hammer. That's a way you, how can you differentiate techniques. That's the main things I wanted to say about karate. There's another phrase from Gishin Funakoshi that says, form of the universe is emptiness, and emptiness is from itself. It is something that you must seek when practicing karate, like being empty. I think when you're doing things in general, you overthink a lot. You think a lot, and it is better when you don't think and you just do the things. My sensei had a seminary last year in which he practiced with a Japanese sensei, and that practice he was performing a lot of katas, and he ended and he started over and many times, and in your mind as he was thinking, he was very tired, but everything is in the mind, pain is in the mind, so you have the ability to continue. There is also something that reflects, that it is reflected from the Dojo-kun, fostering the spirit of effort. So even if you're tired, focusing, endeavoring, fostering, those are the main things I wanted to talk about karate. I want to encourage you to enter this and to start walking through this path, this beautiful way. It doesn't matter your age, you can always start practicing karate. It just takes discipline and effort, but you'll later begin to love karate. To end this episode, I want to thank Klaatu for the episode about how to make friends. I used the trick or that, yeah, that trick or tip of complimenting, yeah, giving a compliment. Last week I went out with a girl and I gave her a compliment on his clothes, and yeah, that was a good tip to break the ice and also to give it gave another topic to talk about. So it was cool. So thank you, Clotilde, for that. And yeah, well, I will hope you have enjoyed this episode. I'll be recording some other episodes on some math topics, some computer science topics. Or if you want to hear more about karate, just let me know in the comments. And well, thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.